Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. Maybe we'll just leave that there. All right. Everybody there say amen.
Amen.
Hey, that's good. That pretty much covered everybody. Are you warm, cold? One's fanning back there. Nobody else is looking strange. All right, we'll be all right. Acts 15, and we'll begin in verse 1. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our most kind and gracious Lord, we come to you once again this evening. Lord, we thank you for this privilege to be able to come to your house. We thank you, Lord, that we do have your word that we can study. And Lord, take in our hearts and minds and use it for your honor and your glory. We do ask, Lord, for discernment and, Lord, for wisdom and the knowledge of how to use that wisdom to further your kingdom. We thank you. Ask you to be with each one here tonight. Be with the families they represent. Lord, put a hedge of protection about us, especially through this week as we go out into the mission field, Lord, here in Henderson, Nevada. And we thank you. And these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Acts 15. Now, to get you up to speed, we'll, because we did skip a night. Paul and Barnabas has come back to where they began at Antioch. And they have rehearsed what all went on. In other words, they had a missionary conference, basically. They met with the church that sent them out and let them know what they had done and let them know about the work that they had done and the souls that were saved. And I would say some of the trouble they got in. And Paul's far from being out of trouble. So now we're going to pick up in 15. Well, we'll pick up at verse 27. It says, "And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples." About a year is about how long they were there. Now it says in verse 1 of chapter 15, "And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, Except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved." There's always somebody wanting to stir something. You know, the gospel's simple. The Bible says plain as in black and white, plain as it is dark outside right now, plain as it is daylight when the sun comes up, that people are saved by their faith and trust and repentance and their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Not by being baptized, not by keeping up with the, what would you call them, sacraments or whatever it may be they call them. Not by those things. It is by faith in Jesus Christ. Listen, if it's anything added to that, then it's no longer grace. It's no longer the gift of God. Listen, Ephesians 2, 8, 9 tells us plain as day, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." If it was of works, hey, I might can outwork Miss Bay. I might. Maybe not. I should have picked somebody else. honestly, it's not of our works. It's of God's grace. It's a free gift to us. And if we add anything else to it, then it's no longer a gift. I actually read something the other day when I had been studying on this. And it was written by, I can't even remember who it was. It doesn't matter. He said this verse actually meant you can't be a true disciple of Christ unless you're circumcised and keeping the law of Moses. That's a lie. And that ain't what it said. And I'm like, what a knothead. And he's a theologian. really and truly, be careful with the little commentaries they add in the Bible and the commentaries that you can buy at the stores and stuff. Be careful with that stuff. Rely on God to talk to you. It says right here, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. In other words, they were telling them, if you're not following the law of Moses, the circumcision and the laws of Moses, you're not saved. Now, circumcision really and truly, when you really break it down, what it was the putting away of that flesh. It was, in other words, it's really meant when we get saved, we put away the fleshly, the old man. That's really all circumcision was. But they had taken it to an extra step. They were better than everybody else. And that wasn't what it was. They went way off the road. So verse 2, and I don't blame him or Barney. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension. In other words, strong disagreement. They had a strong disagreement. Not just a disagreement. They had a strong disagreement. and disputation. In other words, they didn't just get angry. They verbalized that they were angry over this. They got really verbal about it. I can imagine Paul did. I mean, think about it. Paul had gotten stoned for what they're saying is not enough. Paul might have even died for what they're saying not enough. Because some people say he died when he got stoned. I'm not going to go there. It says disputation with them. They determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. In other words, they looked at Paul and Barnabas and they said, whoa, 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 calm down, relax. Because I can imagine Paul when this took place. You know, I can see him now. Paul wasn't a calm individual, by the way. He was one of them little firecrackers. That's why God called him. Somebody that'll raid the Lord's churches and drag people off and go to the Sanhedrin and get it. Listen, he wasn't just some little calm little fellow. Paul was outspoken. He didn't mind telling you that a cheeseburger is a cheeseburger. He's gonna stand on that. It's a cheeseburger. You know, and he'll fight you for it. And when they all of a sudden they said, well, you got to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses. What? I'm hearing now, you know. What are you, crazy? You know, I'd say he got all bent out of shape. No, you're lying to these people. I've been telling them, now they're going to think I'm lying. You know, it wasn't just a reflection on Jesus, it was a reflection on him as well. Jesus had told him what to preach. So, you know, he got all bent out of shape and Barnabas got bent out of shape with him and it was a strong disagreement. They got verbal about it. Well, then, what did they do? Well, you need to go to Jerusalem. Let's take this to Jerusalem. Who's in Jerusalem? The apostles, the main guys, the ones that all of this come about with, Jesus and those guys. We need to go before them. We better go up there and talk to them. And, hey, there's nothing wrong with getting godly counsel. Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the way of the ungodly, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, nor standeth in the way of the sinner. In other words, you want to seek godly counsel. What better folks to seek godly counsel? The ones that walked and talked and fished with Jesus. The one that got all of this stuff going. Let's go see these guys. And so that's what they did. It says, in being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phinehas and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. And they caused great joy unto all the brethren. You know, there's joy in salvation. There's joy in doing right. There's joy in serving the Lord. And that's what they were trying to do. They were taking away Paul's joy and Barnabas' joy and these other people, the Samaritans. You know, they wasn't thought of very high. People didn't care for them too much. But they got joy in hearing what had taken place. And it says that when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. Here we go again. They get in there, and they got to do the same thing that they did when they got back. They said, hey, man, we went here, and we went here. We went up to Lystra. Oh, by the way, Timothy got saved in Lystra, and you hadn't met him yet, but you will. I got big plans for Timothy. I really feel like Timothy's going to go somewhere. You know, he probably told them all this stuff. He did. He became a pastor in Ephesus. But, you know, Paul was excited, and they told him all this stuff. But, you know, all good things, you know, what's the saying, got to come to an end? My wife just looked at me because she knows what runs in my mind. Ask me one day, it's a song. But anyway, you know, all the happiness and the joy, all of a sudden it's like, well, this is why we're here, guys. You know, because think about it now. They didn't have an iPhone. You know, these cats have started this problem and then said, hey, let's go to Jerusalem and settle this. They didn't call them up and say, hey, we're on our way. This is what I want to talk to you about. No. So here we go with the question. The one that was at hand here. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter. That bothered me when I read that. Here these, Barnabas and Paul's there, they've been running around telling these guys, hey, you guys have no hope. You guys are dying without Jesus Christ. You're going to hell. They've been run out of places. They've been stoned. It could have been shipwrecked somewhere along the way. Could have been robbed by the outlaws out there because Paul says he was in peril all these times. All of this, we've been preaching this to these guys. The simplicity of Christ. Repent, place your faith and trust in Him, and thou shalt be saved. And Jesus had told them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. Not anything else added to it. And then the Pharisees that believed, they stood up. Well, we don't believe you can be saved unless you're circumcised and unless you're keeping the law of Moses. And this verse just tears me up. And the apostles and elders there at the church came together for to consider this matter. That should have never been penned in the Bible. But it had to be because that's what happened. Here these guys are that rode around with Jesus in a boat, that walked
all over with them, watched Peter walk on water. Jesus had laid it out for them. They have seen people get saved. They've seen the works that the Lord let the apostles do. And yet they're going to consider, well, we better think about this. Maybe these guys are right. Just, I don't know. That just bothered me. And when there had been much disputing, in other words, listen, that proves they were Baptists. Okay? Because they're disputing. Most folk don't dispute. Baptists dispute. I was in a business meeting one time and it went on for 45 minutes. No, it didn't. It was 30 minutes of whether they ought to buy a vacuum cleaner, and I am not kidding. Another 45 minutes on the color of the thing. Arguing. I'm like, I wasn't pastoring, praise the Lord. It's like, you have got to be kidding me. It's a vacuum cleaner. It sucks up dirt. Who cares what color it is? Paint it pink? It don't matter. Psychedelic, so to make everybody happy. So they had to be Baptists. They were disputing. And Peter, praise the Lord, he finally come to his senses. Peter, he said, rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago, several years back, God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Well, hello, Peter. You want to say, did you circumcise any of them? You know, but at least he did. He stood up. He said, hey, I'm the one that preached to them, guys. Think about who Peter is. Peter really was sort of like the head apostle, if you will. You know, he didn't have that title, but they all looked up to Peter. I think Peter was probably the oldest. And they looked up to Peter, and Peter to them was like, man, they had seen Peter go from standing there, Jesus, I'll die for you, man, and chop the dude's ear off. Right there in front of all the Roman soldiers, could have lost his life right then and there. And then stand there and deny Jesus, warming his hand. Hey, I don't know him now. That's denying Jesus. They'd seen him go from that to all of a sudden saying, fooey on this, let's go fishing. And then Jesus shows up and boy, makes him feel about that big. But he told him, I love you. And then the sermon he preached that we read about in Acts chapter 2, it's like, wow. See, they were kind of looking up to Peter. So when Peter stood up and talked, that helped a bunch. And it says here, he says in verse 8, and God which knoweth the hearts, boy, ain't that true, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. Oh, hey, you Pharisees. Because listen, when they did all this, they're right there. They're in the church at Jerusalem. All them people are standing around. They're in a business meeting. And he says, hey, God knows their hearts. God gave them the Holy Ghost, guys, just like he did us, us Jews. And, verse 9, put no difference between us and them. Oh, you know that had to hurt. You know, they looked at the Samaritans like they were dogs. Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria. I can hear the guys now. What is he doing?
He's going to get us killed. We don't need to be going to Samaria. Them dogs down there don't die. Peter shows up at, well, we'll go ahead. No difference between us and them. Now, let me give you a little bit of rundown real quick. Over in Galatians, and I forgot to write the verse down, but Paul gets on to Peter. Because Peter's over there lollygagging. Man, he's having a good time with the Gentiles. Woo! Man, there we see the Holy Spirit working. And in walks James and John and all them guys. And Peter's like, oops. He goes over here and swells up again because he's a Jew. And Paul says, hey, that's wrong with you. You know, I got to hand it to Paul for that. But Peter says, hey, no different. Purifying their hearts by faith. Alright, so verse 10. Now therefore, why tempt ye God? Peter's like, why are you tempting God here? To put a yoke upon their neck, upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. Man, that kicked them in the teeth. Hey, why do you want to place something on them that you couldn't, I couldn't, and neither could my father and my grandfather keep? Yet you want to tie it onto them? What's the deal?
You know, Peter probably enjoyed a sausage that day he was down there at Cornelius' house. He was like, oh, I didn't know pig was so good. It had to be. Listen, man, you can't, oh, man, sausage is just, grill it until it kind of busts open. Peter was probably excited over that. He said, but verse 11, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. You see, the law really is the knowledge of sin. The law really is all it's for is the knowledge of sin. It was a schoolmaster. In Galatians it said it was a schoolmaster for them to realize, man, I can't keep this. I've got to have Jesus. I can't do this. That's all it was the knowledge of sin. And to let you realize, listen, lying's a sin. Even that partial lie. What do we call that? We call it a white lie. It's a lie. Either way you look at it. Just because it's partly, well, it's part of the truth and part. It's a lie. It's either the whole truth or none. You know, murder is wrong. Putting something else before God is wrong. That's what the law was. To let us know, it gave us the knowledge of sin. It was not salvation from sin. You can't get saved by keeping the Ten Commandments. Ain't going to happen. Because first off, you can't keep the Ten Commandments. You can try, but you can't. Who in here's ever kept all of them? Alright. Who in here has messed up on one? Alright, we've only got one. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 here. Who's messed up on 2? Donald ain't messed up yet. I'm going to go with 3. Who's messed up on 3? Now wait a minute. Now if you raise your hand, you're going to lie, because if you've broken 4, then you broke 1. So you lied already. You know what the terrible part is? According to the scriptures, if you break one, you broke them all. Guess what the penalty was for breaking one? Death. We'd have never made it through the first day. They'd have stoned me before I turned 14. I promise you, it'd have been over with. You see, it wasn't for salvation.
It was so that we would realize we need salvation. It was we need Christ was what it was all about. So, verse 12. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. Wow, they got to tell about it and they were excited. See, they've been telling about it. And then they got to tell about it on the way to Jerusalem. And then they got in their little office there and they met with the boys. And they let them know what was going on. Now they let the whole church know what was going on, what took place. Because, hey, it isn't by circumcision. It's not, I believe in Jesus Christ with all my heart, Lord, save me. Plus, I'm going to get circumcised. Plus, I'm going to keep the law of... No, it was all about, I believe in Jesus Christ. Now, they made a few things, and we'll see if we get to them. So, James, he speaks up. He was the pastor of Jerusalem, the church there. Verse 13, and after they held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Listen to what I got to say. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles, Simon, by the way, to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets as it is written. After this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Now, he says, wherefore my sentence is. Here's my answer to all this. We've prayed about it. We've talked about it. Here we go. He said, wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood. Now, what James had just said, he said, listen. He said, it is the grace of God that saves. I'm going to just paraphrase it. It ain't this stuff that they've been telling us. You don't have to be circumcised. You don't have to keep the law of Moses. Why should we throw on them what we couldn't keep ourselves? He says, but we do got a problem. You ever read that covenant? That's sort of what he's talking about. It kind of, to me, would be the same thing. You know, really and truly, it says we ought to abstain from the sale of and use of destructive drugs, intoxicating drinks as a beverage, showing pornography, there's backbitings in there, all of those things, kind of what he's saying. He's saying, look, these guys do have some problems that we need to be teaching them to get rid of. See, they would like to go out because you could get the cheap meat that had been offered to the idols. They could get that stuff cheap. So, hey, why not? Let's go eat it. They didn't see a problem with it, but it offended people. And then they did like to drink the blood from strange, you know, from animals, strangled animals. There's a problem there. You know, and yeah. That don't mean you can't have medium rare steak. I have searched into that because I like medium rare. But they were some things that they wanted to abstain from that. And abstain from fornication. Apparently that was a problem. We don't have that problem in America today. But they had it back then. Yeah, you know, that's right. And it says, for Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him being read in the synagogues every Sabbath. Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely a guy named Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after this manner, the apostles and elders and brethren send greeting unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying, ye must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we give no such commandment. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. Basically, what he just said is, listen, we're going to write a letter, you guys, and we're not going to just send Paul and Barnabas, but we're going to send two of the chosen guys with us that work hard and know the scriptures and know what we believe, and they're going to represent us along with our letter. That you ain't got to be circumcised. You ain't got to keep the law. But we would like you to abstain from drinking the blood from strangled animals. And we would like you to knock off the fornication. And we would like you not to buy the animals from the market after they've been offered up as idols. We just got, that just feels like a problem. Hey, I don't have a problem with that. You know, I'd put down the fact of drinking blood. And I'll be honest with you, if it just totally offended somebody that, well, I'm not going to go to church with some man that'll eat a medium rare ribeye, I'd probably give up eating medium rare ribeyes if it would get you to grow in the Lord. That's basically what Paul was telling them later on. And because, hey, I got to have that. The Lord will give me a... He'll say, okay, I'll make a well done taste good for you. You know. But the main thing we can gather from this today is, listen, if anybody tries to tell you that you need to do this and you need to do that to be saved, it ain't in the Word of God. They've tried it for years and years and they're still doing it. They still got people that'll tell you, well, you gotta do this and you gotta do that. No, you don't. Because if you add anything else to faith in Jesus Christ, it ain't grace no longer. It's just basically you're throwing it away. And you're making it hard. Why take on all of those things that they couldn't even keep? We don't need to add. Listen, I got enough problems without adding more to it. I don't need that. Let's stand.